Good morning and welcome to Town Square Sunday. I'm your host, Jim Phillips. This program highlights nonprofit agencies here in the South Coast working to make this region a better place to live. We start off today with details about a nonprofit called Community Bridges, founded to provide mental health counseling, career training, goal and life coaching, and activities of daily living. Working with young people up to 25 years old and families. And Carolyn Burke leads this team of counselors. We hope to learn more by talking with her today. Ms. Burke joins us this morning. So welcome, Carolyn.
Thank you very much. I'm very pleased to be here.
Carolyn, give us some history about Community Bridges. When did it start?
We started in 2020 as a result of kind of having to work from home and do telehealth. That was advantageous to me because I have a mobility issue, so not having to climb up three flights of stairs to go visit my clients was very helpful. But also, there were certain demographics that we weren't really reaching. They don't necessarily reach out for help because of the stigma surrounding mental health. So being able to promote, to look for, you know, clients that I could serve in a better way was really important to me. And I was a little bit worried, so I went through an accelerator to learn how to, you know, take care of the business side of things. And I learned a lot. They're very grateful to E4All. But what I realized was that, you know, the clients needed to still kind of, you know, come to me. So I just started advertising on Facebook. Not even advertising. Like, I just posted, I'm here. You know, if we can help, let us know. 2 days later, my roster was full, and it remains full 5 years later. And so I know that I touched on, you know, a great need that we had. I'm very, very passionate about advocating to reduce the stigma and make sure that insurances continue to cover mental health services. The reason we are a nonprofit is so that people who don't have mental health coverage and don't have money are still able to receive services, because finances are a huge barrier to mental health services.
You know, I can tell you that just when you think the stigma might have lessened or disappeared, it's really still there. I mean, when you say you're seeing a counselor or a mental health person, people do look back a little bit. And that's why I think a lot of interesting things have happened this past year that have helped people at least, I think, reduce this somewhat the stigma, from Jaron Duran of the Red Sox admitting that he thought about suicide, to others who have come out and said important things that people can look at and say, gee, there are other people like me. Why should I be, you know, afraid to step forward? There are other people like me who need help. Give us some, you now have a small team of counselors working with you. Is that right?
I do. I have two partners. One is a life coach and one is a clinical social worker. We also have therapeutic mentors, and we'd like to, I don't want to be, you know, child and family services, but I would like to have a staff of 10 available in the city to deploy, whether we need to do in-home therapy, whether we need to do youth group homes, wherever we need to be. I personally know of 8 people under the age of 20 who committed suicide in the last 2 years. Yeah. And honestly, I almost stopped because it was just so overwhelmingly sad to me that they see no hope at such a young age when life is ready to really explode for them, just like it did when they were infants and started walking. So there's so much more. And it's always been said that it's a permanent solution to a temporary problem. But when you are drowning in 3 feet of water, you don't see a way out. And I'd like to be, if I can, you know, God willing, the hand that takes theirs and says, you can stand up. It'll be okay. It hasn't really overcome you yet. It just feels that way because you're not grounded.
So does your staff basically go into homes? Is that what you do?
We do provide in-home therapy, or we would rent out rooms in the library to meet with them. We do also have home offices. There are 2 in my home and 1 in each of the counselors or our coaches' homes that they can meet. But therapeutic mentors typically still, you know, now that we're not in quarantine, go out into the neighborhood. They pick up the children and spend about 90 minutes with them. They go to playgrounds. They go to malls. They go bowling with them. The community has really rallied around offering free tickets for our therapeutic mentors to be able to take kids to the movies, take them to the mall or to, you know, to different events. Ryan's has been a wonderful partner with us, with them going in and be able to go to the arcade. So we're very grateful for that.
What other types of work do you provide in the community? I know I read off a couple of things here.
workforce
beyond mental health counseling.
It's really great because, I mean, we have a fishing industry here. Yeah. It's dangerous, true, but if you're properly trained, these kids have the opportunity to go out and start without a college education, go out and make $60,000 to $70,000 a year, and they get to get, I mean, I know it's by water, but they get to get out of the city. There are many kids that have never left New Bedford. As a military brat and Navy person, it's difficult for me to even imagine not going to different places and being very mission-oriented. So we also have a couple of times tried to rent an Airbnb in the Berkshires to take some of these kids in different programs and the alternative schools out to experience whitewater rafting, hiking. We've not been able to get any of them to go because they don't get what there would be to do outside of the city.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we try to advocate for those things. We will also, as long as it's prearranged and we're able to rearrange our schedule, attend court with some of these youth that feel like they don't have anyone or their parents have five or six other children and they can't be with them to provide support.
Okay. So you're working with young people up to 25 years old and their families.
That is our main focus. We will work with any age over 4 years old, though, because there are elderly citizens who are on their own and navigating, you know, change of life, you know, possibly end of life things that they need help with or hospice care. So we also do work with them. But our focus is mainly on younger families that need the support.
Are your services free or is there a charge? I can't imagine. I mean, there's got to be something, some income coming in because you can't do what you do without having, you know, reimbursing people or paying people or whatever it is.
We do rely heavily on insurance, but insurance typically would pay $30 to $63 a session. Mm-hmm. But our arrangement with our clients is that if you have insurance and they pay anything, we will not charge you. But that is also income-based, you know what I mean? So they have to be within that specific income for that help. Clients that can afford the services pay for the services direct cash, and oftentimes they will donate a little bit extra to help people that they know, you know, can't pay for it and that need the help. So
how many clients do you think you handle in any year? Over the last year, how many people are you working with?
I like to have a 15 per week client base, which gives me time to do, you know, the collateral conversations, all of the paperwork, treatment planning, and progress notes take.
Did you say 1-5 or 15?
Yes.
Okay.
But I have, in 2020, I had 32 clients at one particular time. In 2021, I had 28. And I realized that I have to take care of myself too, or I'm a hypocrite, right?
Sure.
I have to do the self-care practices that I tell my clients to do. So I like to carry 15. I probably average 19 clients a week.
Okay. So that's quite a caseload. Even for a few people, is now you get. Did you say you get two staff members or more than that?
No, we have five. There's five of us now. I am a licensed marriage and family therapist. One of my partners is a clinical social worker. The third is a life coach. But we have two therapeutic mentors that work with us as well. I would love to take on more therapists, but there's not a lot in this area. And I know that telehealth allows you to see people anywhere that you are licensed. But I also want to have that home office available to people who really need face-to-face. Telehealth isn't appropriate for everyone.
Right. And so, all right. So where does your funding come from? It may come from some insurance sources. Anything else? You raise funds?
We have donations. I have a really, really great board that work with a lot of people in the community who are very helpful. And therapy isn't the only practice that helps with your mental health. Yoga is very effective. Running is wonderful. Just stretching if you can, even if you're in a wheelchair, if you can just go sit outside and get some fresh air and absorb the sunlight for your vitamin D, it can be very useful to you. So movement is something that's very important, which is why we decided to do this 5K this year to unite community. You know, one thing, because if you want to run, but you've got small kids, we're putting a fence up and we've got yard games and, you know, we've got arts and crafts. So your kids will be safe with us. And we have, you know, the paper bracelets that we have certain codes on as a way to, so we know that, you know, who you're picking up, so you don't pick up the wrong children.
We're going to talk.
Sometimes you need a break and you can go exercise and we've got the kids for you.
We're going to talk about the fundraiser in just a moment. It's happening October? Yes, October 11th at Hazelwood Park, starting and ending at Hazelwood Park. So we'll talk about that in just a moment. By the way, you're listening to Town Square Sunday. I'm Jim Phillips. My guest is Carolyn Burke of a nonprofit called Community Bridges, which is based in New Bedford. It's a small staff, but obviously you're working with the people every day. You had a lot of people during COVID, obviously. A lot of folks needed help there during COVID. I think in 20 and 21, probably had your biggest, your largest number of people. So can you describe your work not only with the individuals, but also with families? I think sometimes we, when there's mental illness arises, we look at the individual and we say, well, okay, we can work with them. But some of it may arise because of their relationship with their families or lack of relationship with their families. And I think it just, it takes a special person to work with that dynamic of families, I think, I personally think. What's your feelings about working with families? How do you do it? And how do you get everybody kind of involved on the same page? Yeah. That cannot be easy.
It's not easy. And especially sometimes with the court mandate cases, it can be a little bit sad. And it's very challenging sometimes to look at all these individual personalities who make up a family unit. But my mom did foster care. And so and she adopted some of them. I was just brought up to believe that family was important and that sometimes you get to choose your family, which is a beautiful gift when you already feel like you were abandoned by your family or they didn't want you. To know that another family chose you and loves you is very important in the healing process. And mm-hmm. So I grew up with a strong base of family and believing that families are the backbone of every bit of this country. And if I could help families stay together, if I could help families improve, reunite, then it would be worth it. And oftentimes it's challenging because it's been a battle for insurances to approve family sessions. They're very, very focused on the individual. And still, we have to designate one person in that family or that couple as the client. And mm-hmm. the insurance only cares about notes on that individual person. But I have to try to work with the whole family dynamic and everyone's personality, especially when they're all pointing at one person as being the cause of the problem. And without myself pointing any fingers, because this is a safe, non-judgmental space, we get to learn how we only really can work on ourselves.
Yeah.
So everybody working on themselves makes the entire unit better.
Another goal of your organization is keeping kids in the communities. What do you mean by that?
Oh, my mom, I grew up in Wareham, but my mom would receive kids from Springfield, from Williamstown, from, I don't even know. First of all, there's a stigma on these kids that they must have done something horrible for their parents to get rid of them. Mm-hmm. And that is often not the case. We had a child once that lived in the basement of her home with two buckets, and they threw dog food down to her on the floor. Mm. That was interesting when she first came. I was still a kid then, so I didn't really have the resources, tools, or even desire to try to understand her.
Sure.
I just knew that she was invading my home and she acted really strange. But my mom just loved on her and, you know, would direct her away from. Sometimes she would peel the paint on the stairs and eat it. And I'm sure that she did that trying to get out of her basement at home. I mean, she's an amazing young woman now. She has children of her own and she loves them more than anything. But there's a lot of challenges to these kids and they've been through things that you don't understand. So it's really important to approach them with love and not judgment and to just, you know, work with them. But it doesn't help. They've already lost their home, their parents, any friends or support they might have had, and they're moved across the state. It's really important to not take community away from these kids, any community sense that, you know, that they have. In some instances, for their safety, yes, they need to be in another city. But for the most part, you're going to deal with a lot of issues as you are ripped from your home. You shouldn't have to lose the community that you had around you, your church, your school, your playmates and your friends, just the local park that might have been some kind of respite for you.
And you're seeing some of these cases, not maybe that extreme case that your mother had to deal with, but some of these cases in New Bedford, Greater New Bedford.
Yes.
They're saying they're here.
Yes, they think that sometimes moving them to another city will get them away from their issues, but you take you with you wherever you go, and there is crime and there are drugs, unfortunately, everywhere.
Yeah. They tell me you're a pastor.
I am.
And what church?
It's called CAC, Altar of Grace in Fall River. I started off under David Spencer. That's where I got licensed and ordained. The worship center here in New Bedford, he was a really, really great spiritual father and mentor. But I love my church in Fall River. It's just amazing. We have community. we have worship, we have Bible study, we have church, and then we have a meal. Everybody brings in something and we share. It's an all-day kind of experience. And they're all coming that Saturday to help me set up, because that's what we do for each other. We are involved in everybody outdoor lives. We have baptisms and birthday parties right at the church. And it's really wonderful. We also do outreach programs where we go to parks with food. And it's mainly an African church, so there's a lot of different African dishes, and I make Cape Verdean dishes, and we expose people to that while we pray for them. And they don't have to come to our church. It's great if they go to any, but if this is the only way that they hear about, you know, our Lord and Savior, we're happy to be out in the community doing it. It's not just about Sunday in one building.
Community Bridges, first ever run, walk, and roll event coming up on October 11th, Hazelwood Park. What would you like to tell us about it?
Again, it's just a way to bring the community together, to get outside, get fresh air, and exercise. Exercise and fresh air are central to your mental well-being. It's really, really important to, it activates things naturally in your body, and endorphins and serotonin a little bit better than just medication. So even if you take medication, that's okay. But getting outside, getting in community, if you're not running, rolling, or walking, there will be vendors out there. There'll be games that you can, you know, engage in, and you can just cheer people on. We'll try to have some pom-poms out there for you, for your sure. runner coming in. And it doesn't cost anything to just come out and cheer people on and to play these games with us. And they're free and prized raffles. So there's an opportunity to win something. The raffles are all free for all of the kiddos. And you can just have a day in community and being outside and enjoying your day to come out with us. So we hope that you'll come out and just enjoy some time in community.
How can folks get involved with this? You can register, I guess, how? Do you need a registration?
Registration only if you're involved in the race. Yeah. So if you're in the race, it's $40 to register. There's a QR code on our Facebook page. Mm-hmm. And so we're Community Bridges New Bedford, or NB, and you can register there. But you don't have to register if you're not going to run again. You can just come out to Hazelwood Park and enjoy your day and have fun.
And how can people who may need the services that Community Bridges offer, how can they reach you? How can they get in touch?
You can leave a message on our website, which is www.communitybridgesincma.com. You can email me directly. It's cburke, B-U-R-K-E, at communitybridgesincma.com. You can call my office. It's 774-328-7113. Or you can come by, 720 County Street, New Bedford, Mass.
Okay, very good. My guest has been Carolyn Burke, head of a nonprofit agency called Community Bridges. Carolyn, thank you for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
And good luck with your fundraiser on October 11th. The 3K run, walk, and roll starting at Hazelwood Park. It sounds like a great party, even if you're not running. It sounds like there's going to be things to do. The event starts at 8 and ends at 1. Again, there, October 11th at Hazelwood Park. Thanks again, Carolyn.
Thank you.
Still to come on Town Square Sunday, some remarkable numbers regarding suicide prevention from the Samaritans. Stay with us.